It is smashing box office records in this country. It is arguably the most talked about film of the year or the season. It is American Sniper, starring Bradley Cooper, the Chris Kyle story.
The story is remarkable, and I wonder if we know more about it here because he was from around here and because we know people who knew him. Chris Kyle, the decorated American Sniper, I think with the most sniper kills in U.S. history, 160 confirmed, and the probable count is somewhere around 250. He served four tours in the Iraq War and was in some really heavy combat. He received Silver Star medals, five Bronze Star medals, and got the Navy and Marine Corps commendation medal. He was a legend, as they called him in the film. I don't know if they really called him that in real life.
Apparently they did, according to his book,
yeah.
American Sniper. Mm-hmm. That was his nickname.
Yeah, based on the book. And I got to tell you, it really struck a chord with me, and I don't think that's a unique opinion. I think you'll have some sort of opinion when you see this movie, but it just gripped me for 2 hours and however many minutes it was. It is graphic. It is filled with some scenes that I've never really witnessed before, or maybe you have, but, you know, in warfare, showing the assassination, the shot, the sniper shot on a human, it's really disturbing to see it. And the special effects of it make it look like you're witnessing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really strong and graphic, and it will draw a reaction, especially when sometimes the victims in his scope, at one point it's a woman, another point he's got to make the decision, do I shoot a child?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it does an amazing job of taking you inside what combat is like in Iraq. I don't know about you, but I was gripping the chair through so many of those scenes, knowing that he's going to make it out because I know his story, but
right.
Still, how many of his friends are going to get out and how are they going to get out of this mess, and just the overall feeling of you've got to watch 360 degrees every second because something may blow up or someone's going to take a shot at you. And
yeah.
It's just incredible what those guys go through.
I knew we were going to talk about it this morning, so I went to see it yesterday. And, yes, those combat scenes are tremendous. Where did they film those? The streets with rubble? Did they go to the Middle East, or was that filmed somewhere in California?
They filmed it in Morocco last spring.
Okay. Boy, that added such an authentic feel to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you felt like you were in Fallujah or whoever
yes.
they said they were.
And you're right, the assassination scenes or the sniper scenes were very graphic, but very, very real feeling.
Yeah.
And one of the things that jumped out at me was I thought Bradley Cooper played the perfect Texan. The
yeah,
accent, the mannerisms,
great.
And we...
That's hard to get.
Yes, and we know because we're from Texas.
Yeah.
We know what a real Texan sounds like, and the mannerisms, and just the way he walked and fidgeted with his hat, and everything was perfect. He played the perfect Texan.
2 hours a day, 6 weeks.
To learn all that.
And had his speech coach with him on the set.
Man,
nailed
he,
it.
He was awesome.
And that's the thing from a movie standpoint, it was just a great movie. Even if you just wrote this script out and said this is what it may have been like for someone based on some facts, and I guess some take exception with some things that were in the movie, like was Mustafa really a character? Did he really assassinate him? I don't know if some of that is true or not, but the movie itself is just unbelievable.
So I looked up some of this stuff. There is one really powerful scene. He's America's best sniper, and Al-Qaeda has their best sniper, who was in the Olympics from Syria,
right.
a sharpshooter. Well, in one scene, he guns down their sniper from 2,100 yards away, and it's his best kill shot. It's the impossible kill shot, right?
Right.
Well, apparently in the book American Sniper, according to Chris Kyle, that did not happen. His longest range kill shot was 2,100 yards, but it was the guy who had the rocket launcher that was going after U.S. troops. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
Where he guns down that guy before he's able to shoot the rocket launcher at the troops. So apparently Clint Eastwood or whoever did the screenplay, they took some creative liberty.
And you figure that's going to happen, right? In a
right.
Hollywood movie, and you have to separate, you know, what's fact from fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact
you know
is,
that going in.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But the fact is, Chris Kyle did live. He lived through that.
Mm-hmm.
He died at the hands of another vet who was having problems, and that's the struggle that you watch him go through from being in that type of environment where people around him are dying as a Navy SEAL sniper, and his job is so difficult to find these people. Do I kill or not? To go from that scene, and then you return home to your family, and you're trying to acclimate into everyday American life, impossible, and mm-hmm. somehow he was able to overcome it, and one of the ways he was by helping other vets. It helped him cope, and he certainly helped out a lot of other vets around here who were having a tough time when they came back, either injured physically or injured psychologically. And that's the thing that I took out of the film that just, it stopped me in my tracks just like it did everyone else at the theater. I have never been to a movie that when it ends, there is nothing but silence. Mm. I've heard from some people that there's applause and, you know, some people, I don't know if we've gone into USA chants or something like that. It's not, to me, it's not that type of movie. To me, it's so chilling and it's such a peek inside of what is so awful and difficult about war and the price that our veterans pay. And it was just silent. No one said a word.
I wish my theater had reacted like that. Unfortunately, I had three women sitting in front of me that talked the entire film.
No!
Yes.
How could they talk in that movie?
And they were getting up and going out to the bathroom and coming back with popcorn. And I'm like, how are you not completely wrapped up and enthralled in this movie? Talk to your friends after the movie.
Yeah.
When that's when you go out for a glass of wine and you discuss the movie.
Yeah. And in this case, wait till you're out of the theater.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to talk to anyone.
No.
I was numb at the end of this movie because I thought about Chris Kyle and so many people who are like him who have come back and have tried to get acclimated. And these numbers that just stagger me, and I think we've talked about him on the show before. His was not a suicide, but he was killed by another veteran who was having, obviously, a tough mental time. That from 2005 to 2011, that we had 49,000 veterans commit suicide
yep.
in this country. That they estimate that it's 22 a day. So you do the quick math on that, and if we continue that rate now here to 2014, the conflict started 2001, we could be talking about 80,000,
mm-hmm.
90,000, if these rates continue. And that's the other thing that stuck with me about this film. For me, it makes the most powerful statement. It's just an average spare here living in America, is that they go through all that, and for the last 13 years, we've done whatever the heck we want to do. And our life goes on, and we think about them, we see these stories, but we don't go through what the military family goes through. And that just stuck with me and I think that because that's what got him. He comes back and, hey, it's birthday parties. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a day-to-day life. Everything's fine. Meantime, this hell is going on every day.
It's like what the Vietnam vets experienced when they came home.
Yeah.
They were wrongly a little more vilified maybe than the Iraqi vets. But still, they come home and everything's kind of okay. I thought the film did a great job of capturing the struggle that Kyle went through and that vets go through coming home and the post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes.
And they hear a firecracker go off and they freak out.
Or how about a drill?
Or a drill, oh yeah. Any of that. And that's totally understandable. You get it. And they are actually shell-shocked when they come home, and it takes a long time to get out of that fog. You know, the scenes at the end when he's helping the veterans who have had their legs blown off or lost an arm or an eye or something like that, did you think those were actual vets actual Iraqi war vets, because these guys really did
have,
you know, a missing limb or something like that. And I wonder if they found a couple veterans and said, hey, do you want to be in these scenes in this movie?
Boy, I bet you're right. I don't know that, but I bet, yeah, and I did. See, I got so wrapped up in the film. Yes, of course I did. I got so wrapped up in it, I just accepted them as real veterans.
Mm-hmm. I thought the way that Clint Eastwood shot it, some of the scenes were spectacular. It just made it so tense, those scenes when Cooper, Kyle, is on a rooftop and he's got his binoculars and, you know, his job was to make sure the Marines on the ground were covered. He was their cover. And so he's looking for potential targets. And when he would find one, then he would put the binoculars down, he'd get behind the scope, and he'd put his finger on the trigger, and Eastwood shot it from the end of the barrel of the rifle. So you're looking down the rifle at Bradley Cooper's face, and his acting was superb in those moments.
Yeah.
He's not really saying anything. A couple times he does, but for the most part, it's just his facial expression and the way he's working his eyes and those shots. And that was in three or four different scenes, down the barrel, looking at him, honing in on the target. It was chilling. It was spectacular.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, we compared it to some other military movies. Saving Private Ryan was so powerful, and that opening scene is, I don't know if you could ever equal that. But, you know, I didn't live in World War II. We live in the United States now, in this present day, where we have this unknown danger. We don't know what it's going to be from day to day. There's no telling what could have happened to us in the last 13 years had guys like that not served. But the feeling of hopelessness, too, about this is going to go on over there for I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
And either we'll be involved or we won't be involved. I think we will be involved in some measure, because we're going to have to be. And I think our grandkids are going to be involved in this. And I don't have a solution. I don't know what the solution is, but it's just the lives we've lost, not just over there, but when you combine with the guys who never really come back, because they come back with so many problems and they end their life. Or in the case of Chris Kyle, someone ended his life because he was struggling so bad. It's just, it's so incredibly sad and tragic. And I don't know what we do about it. I know there's a lot of outreach and veterans like Chris Kyle who are reaching out to other veterans. And we have, you know, private charities who've tried to help them. Our friend David Faraday's done a ton for vets, but how do you fix someone that's that broken?
I don't know. You know, the controversy surrounding the film, I guess I understand only because I understand that we politicize everything in this country, sadly. So there are a lot of people that say this is a propaganda film, it's this, it's that. I thought Clint Eastwood had a really good response to that. He said, there's no political aspect other than that the fact that a lot of things happen in war zones. That was his message, or one of the messages. A lot of things happen in war zones. And that's what I came away from the film thinking or learning or knowing or being reminded, that the old saying, war is hell.
Yeah.
And a lot goes down in war zones. And I also thought a lot about what we talked about yesterday, that some people have the opinion that the snipers are the cowards of the Army, and, you know, that they're not down in the trenches, although Chris Kyle did get down in the trenches in the streets a couple times. He couldn't help himself. But I think that is so misguided. They are a weapon. It's like a stealth bomber. You know, it's like it's such a valuable part of an Army's arsenal. I've never seen the snipers as being cowards. I've seen them as being these incredibly skilled sharpshooters that are such a value to Army.
Yeah.
And I don't know if – I guess I understand how some people say, well, that's not fair. And you know what? In the film, when the Al-Qaeda sharpshooter is taking out American soldiers, you think, man, that's not fair.
Right.
That sucks. But you understand that that's a valuable part of an Army's arsenal.
Well, and I never got the sense of, you know, the Seth Rogen comment about, well, it's it reminded me of when the Nazi sniper was gunning down Americans in Inglorious Bastards. To me, that's a real disconnect, because it's not a propaganda film. This is when you see those insurgents or terrorists being executed. It's another human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, we got him. And it's disturbing.
It's not a video game.
No, it's not a video game. And it's, and I say this, I don't know if I'd go see it again. And I don't know if it's one of those things that you can just go see again. I think it's, to me, it was that powerful. I don't think I could sit through it again.
By the way, P1 Jason tells us that in the movie, the guy missing his leg and shooting the rifle at the end with Chris Kyle is Jacob Schick, who graduated from Coppell High School, an actual vet who lost a limb in the war. So they were real vets.
Wow.
All right, American Sniper, highly recommended.
Every American should see it.
Yes.
And draw your own conclusion, but it's happening, and it has happened for a long time, and there's guys going through a lot of what Chris Kyle was going through.